Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to come and study your word again. Lord, you are so good to each and every one of us. We're so thankful for your watch care and your mercy towards us. And even now, as we come to study your word, we need your help once again. We need the enlightenment of your Holy Spirit. Please, Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to hear your voice. And guide us with your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, life circumstances often bring us to our knees to seek God in prayer for help. And most of the time, we're praying for good things. Healing for a loved one, for a job, freedom from habitual sins. But at times, our prayers go unanswered. Praying for a young boy, I remember one time, who fell off the back of a truck in the U.S., and he went into a coma and never recovered and never came out from it. He passed away. I remember praying for the life of a friend's baby. I remember praying for people for their salvation, and that never happened. Praying for marriages and spouses and relationships and for healing, emotional and physical. And sometimes they get answered and sometimes they don't. And at times, you know, God, even though our prayers are desperate cries and pleas for help to God, sometimes in his infinite wisdom, he says no. And this morning, I want to look at the reason why. To get a glimpse into the heart of God, at least from what we see in inspiration and scripture and what's revealed to us today. And this morning, I'd like to start off with a character in the Bible. His name, David. King David. He had committed adultery, fornication with Bathsheba. She was already the wife of another man. His name, Uriah. And he was one of the mighty men in the army of King David. And when King David found out that Bathsheba got pregnant because of him, he quickly called Uriah back, tried to get him to go back home and spend some time with his wife and sleep with her, but he refused. He was a soldier in the army, and he would sleep on the doorstep of the palace and refused to go back. And so finally David sent Uriah back into battle and asked his captain to put him at the forefront so that he would perish. And that's exactly what happened. David thought he could get away with it, and in comes Nathan the prophet to give him a parable. And he gives this parable about two men, one a rich man, one a poor man. The rich man had many sheep, the poor man had only one. And basically the parable was to point at David saying, you are that man, that rich man that took away the poor man's sheep, even though you had so much. And he pointed at David saying that you had acted unjustly, you had sinned against God, and now this was to happen. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14 it says, howbeit because of this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Because of the sin of David and Bathsheba, the child was sentenced to die. So what did David begin to do? In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15, and Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Even though David prostrated himself on the dirt floor there, even though he was praying and fasting all day and all night, God had sentenced this child to death, and that's exactly what had happened. Why? Why did God say no to David's prayers? Because of the sin of David and Bathsheba. There was a consequence for his sin. And sometimes God says no because there is something that we have done in our lives that have caused it. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Friends, what we sow is what we will reap. Can the prayers avert a crisis? Absolutely, it is possible. It is able to, but who knows the mind and the will of God? And so as we've looked at the story of King David, the first reason that we understand as to why God says no to good things and our prayers sometime is because of our sin and because of what we have done. The reason, it's obvious in this story, and we can see that as we trace it back. And so this one is clear. We don't really need to stand there scratching our heads sometimes, isn't it? Let's go to another story found in Mark chapter 5. It is the story of these two demoniac men. In chapter 5, it talks about one who seemed more prominent. But in Mark chapter 5, we start reading in verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This man was a sight for sore eyes. He would come out and greet the disciples and Jesus, who had just spent the night on a boat, storm and rocked to and fro. They were ready and happy to get off onto dry land. And here is what greets them. A man possessed. He's naked. He's been crying and cutting himself. He's making a loud noise and he's got these chains still on his hands, even though they've been broken, and he's rushing at them. And the disciples turn around and are ready to run back into the boat and sail off again. But Jesus, he puts his hand up and he stops the man from coming forward anymore. And ultimately, he would cast out the demons that were in this man that is tormenting him day and night. He would give them permission to go into the swine and they would run down into the water and drown themselves there. But then, we read in Mark chapter 5, verse 15. And they, speaking of the townsfolk who had heard about what had happened to the pigs, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And look at this. They were afraid. Can you believe it? A man that has been possessed all this time, now he's been delivered by Christ. He's in his right mind. He's clothed. He's a sane man. And the people, they come and see him and they are afraid. Why? Why are they afraid? Well, let's keep going. Verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. They began to do what? They began to pray, Jesus, please leave. You know, sometimes our prayers are such off the mark that it's unbelievable that we would pray such prayers. But we can pray. It's possible for God to leave us alone. And you know what? Jesus would eventually depart. He would not force himself upon them. He was God. He came to bring blessing. But yet these people are praying, God, please leave us alone. Have you prayed such prayers before, friends? Asking God, please, take anything except this. Please don't touch it, God. Leave me alone in this area. Whether it's my relationship, whether it's my fashion, whether it's how I spend my money, whatever it is, my degree or my studies or my work. We pray many prayers and sometimes we pray, God, leave us alone. But why were these people praying for Jesus to leave? Why were they afraid? You see, the demons that were in the man, they went into the swine and killed the swine. And they were afraid that if Jesus stayed any longer, they might lose more money or possessions. They were happy for the man to stay possessed. Why? Because it meant that the demon was isolated to that man and could not trouble them. And now they see that the demons had come out of the man and they seem to be floating around and causing trouble. So they prayed. Can you believe it? They prayed, Jesus, please leave. And friends, Jesus will not stay in a place that he is not invited to, where people do not want him. He will only come when he is invited and he doesn't force himself upon us. So Jesus turns around to leave with his disciples. But then the man that was possessed just a few moments before, he runs after Christ, and look what happens. And when he was come into the ship, Mark 5:18, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed that he might be with him. He's praying. This man who was only just possessed a short while ago, he wants to follow Jesus. He owes Jesus his whole life. He had been possessed for so long, he probably didn't know how to integrate himself back into society. He wanted to go with Christ. He wanted to be with him, to be his disciple. So he's praying. He's pleading. He's begging. He's probably even grabbing onto the feet of Jesus like Peter when he grabbed onto the feet of Jesus and asked him to depart. And his Savior, the one who set him free and gave him a second lease on life, the one that wants to be with Christ now, Christ turns around and says to him what? What does he say? Let's look at verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. Jesus said what? No. Jesus, please let me come with you. And Christ turns around and says, no. What would you have done if you were Christ? I would have turned around. I would have looked at Judas and said, Judas, get out. This man, get in. The one that was about to betray him, yeah, get out. I know you don't love me as much as this guy does. Maybe I would have looked at Peter and said, Peter, I know you're going to betray me. Make room for this guy. You maybe just hang on the side of the boat in the water. You get in. What would you have done? I know what I would have done. But Jesus turns around and it says, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Boy, this person must have been disappointed. But this man went ahead and lived by the faith in Christ's word and started doing what Jesus asked him to do, which was simply to share his testimony. And look at what happened. Mark 5:20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. To the extent that when the next time Jesus would come back to the same place, many people were ready to accept him. Many people were ready to listen because of the testimony of this one man and of what Christ had done for him. You see, friends, here is the second reason as to why God sometimes says no. And it's because he wants us to be a witness. He has a better plan. He wants us to go and share our story. And so he says no sometimes, even to the good things. This man, he wanted to walk with Jesus. He wanted to be his disciple. He, of all people, would have been an ardent follower of Christ. He would have been on fire. He would have followed Jesus to the ends of the earth. He would have given up his life in an instant just for Christ. But Jesus said no. I want you to go home. And I want you to be a witness. Friends, sometimes God says no, so that we can be a witness for other people. Let's go to another story. A story that you're familiar with. His name is John the Baptist. You see, he was the forerunner of the Lord. He was the one that was to do a great work and herald in the first coming of Jesus. Even from his birth, this was the prophecy of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. For he, speaking of John, shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Can you believe that? Filled with the Holy Spirit, even before you were ever born. But John, he was to do a great work, and he would come on the scene of earth's history with a powerful preaching, calling many people to repentance. Filled with the zeal of God and full of the Holy Spirit, he would denounce all the hypocrisy of his time. He would even stand before kings, pointing out their sins. He was fearless. He called out the fornication and adultery that was taking place with Herod and Herodias, who was his brother's wife. He lived in a day with no Facebook, no Instagram, telling people where he was preaching, hoping he would come. You know, sometimes I get onto Facebook and it's like, oh, I'm preaching in such and such a place. If you're there, please come and see me. No, John didn't live in those days. He lived in the days where there was no media and communication, but yet people would flock in droves to listen to this man preach. Why? Because there was power in his word. There was power in his preaching. Even though it was straight and to the point, he would draw crowds because people were looking for something more than the formal religion that was in those days. And you know, even in our days, some people say, oh, we're sick of religion. But friends, it's because many people are preaching formalized religion. They don't have the spirit and the power that God wishes for them to possess. But John the Baptist, his preaching was straight, but it called many people out of darkness into the light of God's glorious gospel. He was dressed in the dress of the prophets. He lived a simple life. But his ultimate calling was to do what? To bear witness to Christ. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He had a high and holy calling, and he had such spiritual discernment that he, when he saw Jesus, he saw God in the flesh. He recognized the Messiah with his very own eyes. And he was the greatest of all prophets, friends. And yet it says in John 1:27, he constantly pointed to Christ. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. He would say in John 3:30 that he must increase, but I must decrease. And yet John himself was no small player in this circuit of preaching. He was famous. He had his own disciples. People followed him, thinking that he was the Messiah. But yet this is what we read. In Desire of Ages 2:16, paragraph 2. John was troubled to see that through love for him, his own disciples were cherishing unbelief in regard to Jesus. You know, people were missing the point of his mission. And John, just to help you to see how much in high regard people held John, to the extent that what? He began to be afraid that people would begin to despise Jesus by taking sides with John. You know, more and more of his disciples and more people left off following John, and they would follow Jesus, and his own disciples began to be jealous for him. And John saw that. Eventually, his straight preaching, though, would put him in prison. When he called out that fornication on Herod, Herodias was very angry and caused Herod to put him into prison. At that time, he was too afraid to kill him because he thought everybody's regarding him as a prophet. Herod would be in big trouble. But while he was in prison, the plot for his life would be laid. One day, as Herod was having a feast for his friends, the daughter of Herodias, Salome, would dance before Herod, and ultimately he would let Salome have any request, and she was ready. She asked for the head of John the Baptist. And though Herod was sad, he could not, because of those that were sitting before him, go back on his request. And so by and by, God allowed John the Baptist not only to suffer in prison alone, but to be killed. Why didn't Jesus save him? Why didn't he do anything to even comfort his beloved disciple and prophet of the Lord? I mean, they were cousins. Jesus never once visited him in prison. Why? What was the reason? I want to share with you from Desire of Ages 2:23, paragraph 4. Listen to this. Why did God say no to John the Baptist, the greatest of all prophets? To many minds, a deep mystery surrounds the fate of John the Baptist. They question why he should have been left to languish and die in prison. The mystery of this dark providence our human vision cannot penetrate. But it can never shake our confidence in God when we remember that John was but a sharer in the sufferings of Christ. All who follow Christ will wear the crown of sacrifice. They will surely be misunderstood by selfish men, and it will be made a mark for the fierce assaults of Satan. It is this principle of self-sacrifice that his kingdom is established to destroy, and he will war against it wherever manifested. Many people, even today, are confused as to why God did not answer the many prayers of those that were praying for John the Baptist whilst he was in prison, and he died, it seems to many, a useless death. Only 6 months of ministry. Why, God? Why? God didn't exactly say no, but he didn't help either. So from the silence and circumstances, it's clear to us that he did say no, but why? Let's continue reading. Desire of Ages 2:24, paragraph 2. Jesus did not interpose to deliver his servant. He knew that John would bear the test. Gladly would the Savior have come to John to brighten the dungeon gloom with his own presence. But it was not to place himself in the hands of enemies and imperil his own mission. Gladly would he have delivered his faithful servant. And God was more than able, you see. But for the sake of thousands who in after years must pass from prison to death, John was to drink the cup of martyrdom. Why? For the sake of others who would go from prison to death, John had to do this. He had to set the precedence, the example, as the followers of Jesus should languish in lonely cells or perish by the sword, the rack or the faggot, apparently forsaken by God and man. What a stay to their hearts would be the thought that John the Baptist, to whose faithfulness Christ himself had borne witness, had passed through a similar experience. Do you see the reason why, friends? Just so that he could be a comfort for those in the future that would be lonely in prison and eventually pass off to death, that they could have the comfort that God understands and there's someone in the Bible that can relate to him. God could have delivered John. He could have more than answered the prayers of those that were praying for him, but he didn't. Why? So that his experience should be a comfort to those in the future. Look at this. Desire of Ages 2:24, paragraph 5. And of all the gifts that heaven can bestow upon men, fellowship with Christ in his sufferings is the most weighty trust and the highest honor. This is what John the Baptist went through. And so, friends, for the third reason, why does God sometimes say no? Is so that we can be a comfort to others in the future. It might not be a reason why. Why did this happen? There's no logical explanation. Why did God allow it to happen? Sometimes we don't see it until thousands of years later, when we look back and realize that the story of John the Baptist has been a comfort to so many people. And so John had to be the forerunner of suffering for no reason. Do you see that? He had to be that one that would set the precedence and the bar so that other people could be comforted in their time of sorrow and distress. Friends, do you feel like There's no reason why you're put through this situation. Why does my loved one have to die? There seems sometimes no good reason why all of this is happening. You know, some of us, we take COVID quite lightly, but there are many people that I know and that I read in the news all the time that people are dying of COVID. It's real. But why? Look back to John the Baptist. Sometimes the reason is not given at all. But take hope. Take comfort. Know that God cares even more than you ever do. That he's grieved for every person that passes off the scene of this earth's history. It cuts to his heart more than it cuts to your heart. But yet, he has a rhyme and a reason behind it. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. And so we come to one more story. It's the story of Jesus Christ. When God said no to his own son. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Jesus, he offered up strong crying and tears, and he had the assurance that he was heard. But yet God still said no. Look at this. In the Garden of Gethsemane, in Luke 22 and verse 40 and to 44, and when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup far from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly in his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. He was not strengthened to take away this situation. He was strengthened so that he would go all the way to death and to the cross. That angel did not come to offer comfort and mercy, but to reassure him that he had to go down this path that his father and he himself had decided for the salvation of the whole world. He cried out with tears and he was heard. And the answer that was given was no. It was no, friends. It was no. Why? We know why, friends. We know that text all too familiar in John 3:16. God gave his son so we could have eternal life. He said no to his son so he could say yes to us. He rejected his son so that he could accept us into the beloved and adopt us as sons and daughters in Christ. But he had, in that sense, to reject his son. With strong crying and tears, he heard his son crying out to him. And oh, how it must have broken his heart. But he looked beyond the cross and he saw many sons and daughters coming into glory. And so he allowed his son to suffer. He allowed his son to be whipped. He allowed his son to have crown of thorns pressed upon his head. He allowed his son to have nails piercing through his hands and through his feet to be nailed to the cross. That shameful cross. Why? For you and me. Why? Because of love. Why? So that we could be saved. Sometimes God says no to our prayers, our desires, not because it's bad, but because he wants us to save somebody else. That's the life of our Savior. And you know, sometimes we go through all these life experiences and we cry to God and we ask why, and we end up getting bitter with God. But it didn't happen with King David. It didn't happen with John the Baptist. It didn't happen with Jesus. They didn't get discouraged and disappointed and turn away. And you know, as I'm asking you for praises and thanksgiving, maybe some of you, you're sitting there this morning and you don't have anything to praise God about. 2020 has been a bad year for you. But I want you to cling on to Christ. I want you to take comfort in these words. Maybe life has taken a turn for the worse. Maybe it's your own health. Maybe it's your own life. Maybe life has just gotten downright bad. And sometimes you get to that point where you feel like there's nothing worth living for. I want you to remember John the Baptist in prison. I want you to remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I want you to remember all these times that God said no to them. And yet, at the end of the day, they will come off more than conquerors. God has his plan. God, he's perfect in wisdom. This morning, I've only showed you just four instances, four stories, four reasons. But God, his ways are much deeper than ours. His thoughts past searching out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, "Now we see through a glass darkly." The picture's not always clear to us. The understanding as to why God allows us to go through all of this is not so clear. And that's where I ask you, friends, to continue to hold on to the God who sees the end from the beginning. He knows and he sees through the fog and the mist of our lives. You got to trust him. And this morning I'm asking you to hold on to him and don't let go. To make sure that he pulls you into 2021. And I don't know whether that time in 2021 is going to be better off or worse. But all you need to do is look to the Bible. Gather the strength there. Know that God has his reasons and his plans. And sometimes we will only find out that reason when Jesus comes for a second time. Friends, many people did not understand the situation of John the Baptist. They didn't. But we can cling to the promises of a God who's infinite in mercy and love and wisdom. Friends, we're almost at the end of this year. I want to encourage you to hold on to Christ through the thick and the thin, through the trials and the temptations, through these things that life just throws at us. Persecutions, things that was not even of your own doing or of your own fault. You were minding your own business, but yet the devil came roaring after you. Friends, God stood back and seemed like he allowed it to happen. Trust him. Have faith in him. Because in the scriptures, you see the same stories. And we see the glory that comes with it as well. And so, brothers and sisters, today, let's hold on. Let's persevere. Let's continue to trust in Christ and not question his infinite wisdom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, this morning I'm praying for my brothers and sisters who've gone through unfortunate situations even in this past year. Maybe some of us, we've lost the picture of hope. We've been tempted 100 times to just let go of you because we see no point. But Father, help us to see today that even though we don't see, even though the path ahead of us is so dim and clouded, even though trials surround us on every side, help us to trust you. Help us to allow you to take our burdens. Help us, O Lord, to have faith that you know what you are doing and that you're in control and that you love us with an endless love and you want the best for us as well. So with all the billions of lives that are living on this earth, Lord, as you're managing it and you're trying your best, we know that all things will work together for good. Help us to believe to that end, O Father, for you never make mistakes. And you're boundless and endless in mercy and grace. Father, thank you. Thank you that we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a faith that we can place our faith upon, a rock that is immovable. despite all the storms that are thrown at it. Lord, we want to stand upon that rock this morning. Help us, Father, to be more than overcomers today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.